This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Dan Bluestone joins me live in studio. He is the director of the University of Virginia School of Architecture's Historic Preservation Program, and he is a citizen activist as well. And I was going to say, you've never gotten out there and held up a sign, but I think you have, haven't you? And just a few days ago, you actually held up a legal suit fighting the Meadow Creek Parkway.
Right. Coy, our position's been pretty simple all along, and we tried working through the regulatory process on this, work with through the political process. But at the end of the day, it's important that federal laws be followed in cases where there is federal money being spent. And since the 1960s, since the go-go days of the 1950s and 1960s, when we were building interstate highways through cities, when we were doing clean sweep urban renewal, after that, the federal government, Congress, put in place a series of laws to protect both historic parklands, and historic resources. And both of those acts were put in place in 1966. And we've been standing by watching the plans unfold for the Meadow Creek Parkway and feel confident that they are violating federal laws because there's still federal money involved in that project. And just to lay it out for you, if people want to go look at the images or read the complaint, Peter Kleeman has put those on his blog. And if you just Google Kleeman blog, K-L-E-E-M-A-N blog, you'll get to us. And you'll also be able to contribute to our legal defense fund by getting in touch with people through that. But the basic argument is simple. In 1985 and before that, this road was a federally funded road that ran from Rio Road all the way to Route 250. Okay. And when people started looking seriously at that,
and it was originally part of, and the reason it was federally funded was just to take it even further, it was part of the original design to accompany Interstate 64.
That's right.
When they ran that across central Virginia and went through Charlottesville instead of Lynchburg, because there was a big debate about the route of 64, which way would it go,
yep.
They decided on the Charlottesville route.
Yep.
We'll run this thing from Richmond through Charlottesville all the way out to Stanton in the valley.
Mm-hmm.
As we do that, we're going to run
feeder lines.
We're going
right?
to run feeder lines through out of central Virginia and down to this new interstate. And
yep.
One of those feeder lines was designed to go right through downtown Charlottesville. Again, the idea is saying, hey, let's help merchants. Let's build commerce in central mm-hmm. Virginia by making it easier for cars to get downtown. We'll run a feeder line right from the new Interstate 64 through downtown Charlottesville and up to Route 29.
Right. And so
that's where this road came from.
Right. And so when federal agencies started reviewing this in the 1980s, even though the road had been on the books even longer than that, and actually before the interstate highway system, but they started looking at it and they said, well, wait a minute. This runs afoul of Section 4F of the 1966 Department of Transportation Act. And this will not, which says you must pursue all prudent and feasible alternatives to alignments for roads that go through public parks. And the people looking at that said, this is not going to work. And so guess what we did? We got rid of the federal involvement of this and had from time to time pursued the project as a state initiative. And then they were too clever by half, Coy. You know what they did? They took one
Who
road.
Who is they? Who is they? VDOT?
VDOT.
Okay.
The local public officials. They said, okay, well, it's no longer the Meadow Creek Parkway. It's going to have three names. It's going to be called Meadow Creek Parkway from Rio to Melbourne. It's going to be called McIntyre Road Extended from Melbourne down to 250. And then there's going to be a big interchange. And what they're hoping to do or persuade a federal judge is that the damage to the public park is being done by VDOT, and the Federal Highway Administration is just improving on their plan and therefore is not in some way on the hook legally for this. And we think that's just crazy. It's crazy, by the way, they actually designed it, which has this spur that goes 775 feet north of 250 into the park. That's paid for by the federal government. The ramps are running through The park on the south side, by the way, you know, original MacIntyre Park had land south of what's now 250, where the skate park is.
And there where are the school ramps. Is, yeah.
That's right. There are ramps and roads running through that. So on all sides of this interchange, it's running through public parkland. It's also running through historic resources. The MacIntyre Park east side is a historic cultural resource. The Rock Hill Gardens, you should go over and take a look at it. Amazing work being done to reclaim the most complex garden landscape in all of Charlottesville. There's the MacIntyre School site. There's the Vietnam Memorial site. There are residences up above the rescue squad. All of these are historic resources. And federal highways are supposed to pursue all prudent and feasible alternatives to not damage historic resources. And again, you know, they're right in the thick of it. So, too clever by half.
We're talking with, just a second, we're talking with Dan Bluestone. It's 4:41 here in Charlottesville, 58 degrees. Dan involved in a recent lawsuit against the Meadow Creek Parkway. Dan, who brought the suit? Is it a group or just an individual?
Yeah, there's a group of people that have been working on this, the Coalition to Preserve MacIntyre Park. And the coalition are people that have been working together informally for years to try to prevent this highway from running through MacIntyre Park. They really want to preserve MacIntyre Park. And one of the things, Coy, I know that including you, I think we've had conversations through before, you're not wildly enthusiastic about the golf course. And this is the issue with the golf course. When Paul Goodloe
Let me be enthusiastic. Okay. Go on the record. Let me be enthusiastic about the golf course. But I think in the end, it's just representative to me, symbolic of a tremendous missed opportunity to create the most beautiful public park in Virginia. And we haven't been able to do that because this road has been on the books for years. And the city's been reluctant to put any money into the park because they say, well, we're going to have a highway through there.
That's right. Well, my view of this right now is that golf course has been a placeholder. And if you think, you know, Paul Goodloe MacIntyre gave this land in 1926, and here we are, you know, 80 years later, 85 years later. And the point is, where are we going to be in 85 years from now? Where are we going to be in 20?
Well, if the past is any guide, the park will be gone.
Well, that's the problem.
Because, I mean, look what's happened to it since then. There's a school, there's a rescue squad, there's a skate park. I could go on and on and on.
Right.
Of the little things that have been added
that
to
nibble
it,
away at
that
it.
Nibble away at
the
it, YMCA, and gradually it's gone.
But I think, again, it's a placeholder, and if you think big, you might not be a great fan of golf or not golf, but the point is that right now, it's a placeholder. And if we put a highway through there with 24,000 cars a day, that land will never be reclaimed for park purposes. With a golf course in there, it can be used for any number of things. But as soon as you build the highway through it, it's over.
Yeah, yeah.
And the entire east side of MacIntyre Park is blighted by the noise, the sound, the smell of automobiles.
We're talking with Dan Bluestone about the latest on Meadow Creek Parkway and the MacIntyre Park. Is the heart of the legal argument, Dan, that federal money is being used
absolutely
on a highway project that is destroying public, destroying historic resources, and putting a highway through a park?
That's right. That's the heart of it. In fact,
and the park itself is a historic resource.
I'll be very honest with you, Coy. In fact, we're asking in this lawsuit, one of the things that we're asking is A, they follow the law, but B, that the federal money come out of this project. If the federal money comes out of this project and VDOT decides to go ahead on their own, we actually don't have any standing in court. We don't have a claim because Virginia doesn't have the kinds of protections of parkland and historic resources
of course
that the federal government does,
of course
right?
Not. Of
so
course
if
not.
So if that if it comes out, but here's the economics of it, Coy. Meadow Creek Parkway, Rio to Melbourne cost $10.4 million. The road through the park is slated something in the order of $3 to $5 million. And guess what the interchange is costing? An interchange is going to cost $30 million. So you tell me whether that's a federal project. Those numbers add up to me. I'm thinking it looks like one-third state money and two-thirds federal money. This is a federal project. The federal laws should apply.
Well, and historically, we're talking with Dan Bluestone, and we got to take a break. And I want the listeners to join this conversation, 977-1070, for or against the lawsuit to stop the Medicree Parkway. That's the question for you, 977-1070. And I just want you to consider this a conversation. You want to say something, all you do is pick up the phone. It's that simple. Historically, I just want to point out for the folks who haven't been around it for a long time, this project was dead. It was dead because VDOT said, we can put the road through the park. We'll jam it in there. But then as we bring that road down to 250, it's going to hit a traffic light. And from day one, it will be rated an F intersection, which means you won't be able to get through there on a good day.
No, it's
good. It'll just be complete and utter gridlock.
If you think there are problems on Route 250 now, wait till you see what it would be with an at-grade interchange.
Right. And the county, as usual, they want this so bad for business purposes and for development purposes. They want this road so bad that former county supervisor Forrest Marshall, longtime pharmacist in town and a good guy, he went to his friend John Warner and said, can you give us some money? Can you get us some federal money to help us finish this project and make it happen? That's what made this road possible. It was the interchange that federal money brought it down. Without that, it was dead. It was going nowhere.
That's right. It was dead. And I think that with this federal money pulled out of it by a judge that looks at this and says, that looks like one-third state money, two-thirds federal money. This is a federal project. I think that it will be dead again. That's what we're after.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. I was asked the other day, isn't this just a Hail Mary pass? And I think if there was ever a Hail Mary
pass. Is it a Hail Mary pass, Dan?
If there's a Hail Mary pass in this, I think it was the county jumping the gun and building their $10 million segment from Rio to Melbourne. Because they're doing that to put a gun at the head of a judge and say, you want us to waste that money? Are you serious? They were building their legal case for an illegal road. If they fail, God bless them. I hope they can work out a way to use that for transit, use that for bicyclists, use that for skateboarders.
The fact that the county went ahead and did that is anyone that I was shocked that they did that. Number one, they told everyone in the community that we're not going to build our portion of the Medicree Parkway until we have an eastern connector and a western bypass. That was the agreement back in the 90s. Well, they threw that out the window.
Right.
And then they built that road down to Melbourne just to dump all that traffic down onto Melbourne Road where it's a dead end. You got to go right or left to keep going. It's, you know, you got to take a left, sit at another traffic light to get back onto Rio. Whoever in the end is responsible for that, I think you really have to wonder about their job. You have to wonder about the ethics of the job.
Well, I think it was a legal strategy. I really, really think that the belief was, let's get this in place and then tell a federal judge, you're going to make us waste $10 million if you don't let us go the rest of the way to get this down to 250. And that was a gamble on their part. And I think a federal judge is going to look at this and say, this doesn't meet the smell test. You guys have to actually follow the federal law.
Yep. Let's rejoin our conversation with Dan Bluestone. He's with the group that filed the legal suit against the Meadowcreek Parkway, specifically the federal funding that is going into the project, which he argues is illegal and violates a number of federal laws. I got a question. Let's keep talking about this. The county's portion of the Meadowcreek Parkway, which they built it as fast as they could and built this thing through. It's closed though, right? It was open briefly and now it's closed.
Yeah, it opened briefly. The easement that was given to VDOT to run through McIntyre Park was given on a condition that the county portion of this highway would not open until the entire highway was open. And that's because when people get to Melbourne Road, they have to either turn left or right, and there's concern about people turning right and ending up, you know, mixed up in high school traffic.
And in that neighborhood over there.
Street traffic in that neighborhood. And so that was why that condition was put in place. And we actually, I know people at Dunlora went before the council to try to urge them to open this section of the road. And I think it's bad public safety policy to just dump that amount of traffic into a T intersection.
Right in front of a high school.
In front of a high school, you know, not very skilled drivers. This is a bad idea.
Yeah.
And so,
but the county went ahead and did it anyway. I was up there this weekend. What are all the tubes? What are all the pipes and the tubes and all that stuff that's laying around over there up in the front of Dunlore?
You know, Corey, the thing that's so interesting about this project is there. No one ever talks about the sewers. And one thing's very clear. This highway got a whole sewer line put in adjacent to the highway. It's one of the reasons it's so unattractive is because it knocked out all these trees up that could have been along the roadway. And I feel pretty convinced that a lot of the pressure for this came from the development interest in our community, not for the roadway and transportation, but because it became a free sewer line that basically provides sewer coverage for all the 29 North new development, which those developers would have had to pay for on their own. And so, you know, what's fascinating is you have the Chamber of Commerce and the Free Enterprise Forum, these groups that are small government, low taxes, and yet as soon as they can get up and have the public assume responsibility for their own private developments, they're all over that. They want to push that like crazy.
They love the public subsidies. Yeah,
they got a free sewer,
and that's what you're saying. This is essentially the county's portion of the road is a public subsidy. It's subsidizing a new sewer line for development in that area.
That's right. And you know the connection that people see of this bringing people downtown. This isn't what this road's about. This is about getting traffic flowing between Pantops in the county, and 29 North in the county. I really do think that the county ought to solve their own traffic problems and not constantly be turning to the city to give up cheap real estate, you know, give up their parks as cheap real estate for building highways, and also to stick the residents of Charlottesville with the big bills for paying for road improvements, for paying for water, for paying for sewer. That is benefiting county development, not city life.
Yeah, well, at least in that regard, the county's been treating the city like a pinata for quite some time. Gary is on the line. Gary, go right ahead, buddy.
How you doing, guys?
Really good.
You know, when the part of the parkway and the county part, the part that's already built, was opened up, I was working in Dunlora. I'm a brick mason and worked out there that whole for about 2 months. And finally, when the thing opened up, it was a nice little ride through there. This place has been lacking roads of any kind. Nobody seems to make up their mind, especially the city. I guess I'm a little biased. I live out in northern Albemarle County. I travel down 29 North every day. It's a cesspool for crazy drivers. My wife works in town. I pick my wife up in the afternoons. I can't stand the 250 bypass. If there's a road there that could shoot me through and connect up with Melbourne and shoot me out to Ryle Road, I don't understand all the resistance it's getting. I know the park. I've been a big fan of McIntyre Park. I've used that golf course plenty of times over the years. I enjoy that part of the park. But you know what? When that road is built, in the afternoons will be the only busy time, really, and lunchtime and the mornings. That's I think it could be a nice scenic road through there. I think the part that's already built.
Thanks, Harry.
The lady you have that takes care of the landscaping in Charlottesville, it could be a beautiful stretch of road.
Yeah. Gary, thanks. I got to run, Gary, but I really appreciate your call. I hate to cut you off. I'm really sorry, but
Gary brings up actually a really interesting point.
Real quick,
it's something that we've tried to work on for a long time. We think that this road, if built, should close down at certain times of the day and certain days of the week to return the park to the people. And VDOT is unwilling, and the city council is unwilling to commit to that they will close this during certain hours of the day and certain days of the week.
And allow the park to reclaim
the park. To come back to the people. They're simply unwilling to put it in writing and say that that's what they'll do. Gary, I think in general we want you and your wife to move back to Charlottesville. We got a lot of nice houses, nice neighborhoods, good schools, and instead of living in northern Albemarle County and burning all those all the gas you do, we'd like you to move back
to
the
city. And really asking for convenience that the city's historic park be turned into what Gary said is a nice road.
Right.
It could be a road with pretty scenery. Which I guess is really the kind of thing you're fighting here is that attitude that you know I just want better roads. And I will say this though, if this park we've only got about a minute left, but if this park had been allowed to be developed back in the 70s when there were lots of public meetings in the city to really fix up McIntyre Park. Yeah. And the records are in City Hall. They had all these meetings. Folks got together, and it was killed. The effort was killed because a business interest said, nope, we're putting a road through there. You can't do it. If that had been allowed to happen in the 70s, and we would have had something like Stanton's Gypsy Hill Park, which is stunning, beautiful, beautiful place right in the heart of Stanton, right in the heart of the city. If we had allowed that to happen with bandstands and playgrounds and duck ponds and little trains for the kids and multiple playgrounds, beautiful place, if that had been allowed to happen, we wouldn't be here.
They would
have said, absolutely, we're not going to ruin this historic park.
Coy, our hope is that a federal judge will say that federal laws have to be followed and that your vision for that side of McIntyre Park will finally be implemented. I think it can be.
Dan Bluestone, thank you, Dan, for the update. I appreciate it.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.